Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin on this 4th of July weekend. Happy 4th of July. We are going to be celebrating the living in the land of liberty, what that means, what that meant to our forefathers, if we can be so bold as to project onto them what they could have meant, but also what it means as a living reality for our country, for us personally, and for our own spiritual journey. So, and actually, as a part of that exploration, we are literally going to be exploring together, because one of the precepts, one of the conditions of discovering a new paradigm is that in between what has been and what is coming through is this sense of uncharted territory. So there's a need to be even more clear in what does liberty look like from the new paradigm. And that only can be written on our own hearts and our own actions and in our own sense of being, what has innate value. So it's going to be a beautiful day as we celebrate the many layers of what liberty and freedom mean to us. And as we begin our time this morning, let us join together in prayer. So I invite you to close your eyes and take a deep breath in and out. I'm really sensing into this time, this Sunday morning where we come together in worship and celebration of our own spiritual journey, that we see this service, this our presence here as really a touchstone for our own intention to be in relationship with our spiritual self, with our higher self, and have that show up in all of our life, not just on Sunday mornings, but as a living reality, always already. And so, O Holy One, essence of all that is, as we move into this time, into this space with our fullness of being, we open to that living reality of liberty, of freedom, and all of its manifestations in our world, in our country, in our lives. We open to the ways that we are being asked individually and collectively to continue to be that beacon of light and freedom. And so in that celebration, in that willingness, we say, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.
You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
So in hearing that song, I was reminded of what wasn't funny at the time, but in retrospect, it's quite a funny story. I had gone up to Idlewild with Amy and Christy, and one of the things that we were going to do is take a walk in the mountains. And Amy is very familiar with the trails up there, and so she said, well, let's just go up to this one, you know, setting where you can see out over everything, and I did not know what I was getting into. I will just own. Not that that always makes a difference, because a lot of times we don't know what we're getting into, and it doesn't mean we have to have a crappy attitude about it later. However, we kept climbing and climbing and climbing. We did not have any snacks. And we did not have any water that I remember. And I was, my inner Barbara, my mom, was beginning to come out, the crankiness of this is not working for me. And I was not very physically attuned to the needs of the trail. So, you know, Christy and Amy are like little mountain goats running up the mountain, and I am needing to stop a fair amount. And so the question became, you know, do I literally stop? Do I just wait for them to come down, you know, the trail again? But then there was we went up the hard way, but they were going to go down the easy way. So then that wasn't really an option for me to stop and wait for them to come back down that way, because we weren't going to go back that way. So it became a question of how willing am I to make myself miserable? How much do I want to make myself and those around me miserable? And how much do I just want to keep going? And that song, Great High Mountain, became, we actually started thinking and singing because we all know it, especially the part where, the higher I got, the harder I climbed. But there was no living water, at least in physical form. But there was in the companionship and the willingness to be with me as I was needing to take some frequent breaks and to hold that we were on a journey together. This is a lot like our spiritual, and when we got up there, it was beautiful. It really was. And we had a time to really, you know, really experience what that had been. But the journey was not always my favorite. In our spiritual life, there are a lot of times when we sign up, when we say, yes, I want to meditate. Yes, I want to do my spiritual work. I'm ready to go to counseling. Whatever it may be, I'm ready to study some of the masters that have that really live that peace, that joy, that liberty, that freedom, that enlightenment that I am so craving. What often will also come up are the unexpected parts of the journey that we go, I did not sign up for this. I signed up for a walk in the mountains. I did not sign up for a hike where I was going to be hot, cranky, tired, hungry, and thirsty. And yet, that's what part of the journey was. It wasn't all of the journey, though. And honestly, I had everything I really needed. In our spiritual journey, when we are thrown into or immersed in situations that we didn't particularly sign up for, and we think, I am unqualified or I am underprepared, really, for what is arising, that is simply a mental attitude. That is something that is keeping us in bondage. Because the truth is, everything we need, every spiritual truth and tool and resource is actually always already available. The question becomes, are we willing and receptive to experience that? Everything we need is always already available. So any time you feel like you are not prepared for what you didn't expect, like I signed up for a peaceful existence in relationships, and now I have a divorce that I'm looking at. Or all of a sudden, I have this diagnosis of a disease, or whatever it is that starts to fall into the category of, I did not expect this. I am not prepared for this. There is an equal availability of the resources and the spiritual faith and courage that it will take to walk through whatever needs to be walked through. That is the journey. That is the mountain, that it actually has no top. It's not about mastering your spiritual journey. Can you say that with me? It's not about mastering your spiritual journey. If you think you can master your spiritual journey, I would like to invite you to reconsider. One of the things we talked about in the Tuesday evening centering prayer gathering, where we practice meditation, we practice centering prayer, but we also discuss the nuances of what that practice means and looks like. And one of the things that was coming up was this sense of wanting to master the technique, which is fairly common because and there are some meditation practices, there are some principles, spiritual principles, where you can actually master them. There is a level of mastery that you can attain. Absolutely. What we were talking about was that centering prayer is not one of those. Centering prayer is not a technique. It is a method of communion. It is a way of being in relationship with the divine. And you cannot master a relationship. Anyone ever mastered a relationship in your life? If you have, I would encourage you to ask the other person that you think you're in a relationship if you've mastered them. It's absurd, right? You don't master relationships. You can become a master at being in relationship, of knowing when it's important to communicate or being responsive to what is alive in your relationship. But you cannot master something that is inherently dynamic, fluid, and alive, truly alive. You can be in relationship with it. That is the same with your spiritual journey. That is the same with these high ideals like peace, love, liberty, even happiness. You can be in relationship with how those are showing up. And that was really the intention of the exercises that I was sending out over this last week on the five precepts, of this sense of how are you being invited into looking at how you are showing up in any of these areas. The answer is not necessarily in what you receive, although that's a part of it. But the answer really is in asking the question itself. That's the practice. Being willing to ask the question, because we were looking at in the five precepts, they're really invitations into looking at and helping to develop a self-awareness, to being honest and attentive to reality. Everything you need is always already present when you are attentive to it. Everything is alive. This is a very generous universe when we are attuned and receptive to it. And so the answers, the ways that we can start to be sensitive to the universe, to God. God is shorthand for the all-encompassing power and presence of the living, loving, divine energy that organizes the universe. We just, for short, a lot of times call it God. But it's so much more. These five precepts that the Buddha and that was studied in Buddhism, that Andrew Harvey in his book, The Direct Path, has a whole write-up on, are ways that we can become attuned and sensitive to how we are showing up, how we might be blocking, not and not able to receive the fullness of what is present, the fullness of what is here. So things like, I refrain from killing and harming living beings, or I refrain from stealing and taking what is not mine, and it goes on. Being alive with those questions, how are those alive? How am I being asked to be more nuanced in how I nurture life? Because there's especially in Buddhism, there's a strong emphasis on how I am showing up affects the world, affects my world, and affects the world. It's one of the real gifts of Buddhism. You know, there's a lot of gifts, but that one in particular, there's a certain moral and ethical invitation to a lot of the teachings that's really important, because when we start looking at ideals, the ideal of freedom, the ideal of liberty, how we interpret that becomes very important. Because as can anyone go along with the fact that we can interpret liberty and freedom in a variety of different ways? That's usually a sign of something. There's a high ideal when it's open to a multiple interpretation. It allows for the spectrum of consciousness to show itself. So then our invitation is to live from the highest capacity we know we have access to. And so those precepts were a way of wetting the whistle, so to speak, and how we are being called to live from the highest level of consciousness we know in a very practical way. In 1776, 56 men signed a document and put their lives on the line to live from this high ideal that a government was accountable to its people. And we explored last week that, you know, that there was a smaller definition of what people meant back then. However, the high ideal is there. And it's something that we continue to grow into. And so Carolyn Mace has this great, great series on America, and it's particularly the archetypes that the United States represents and holds. But there's this one piece that she talks about the high ideals that our nation was founded on. And she says the entry of high ideals came through people, or they come through people. They don't blast into people and become instantly manifest and make a nation perfect. It becomes a standard high-voltage light of grace, a unique grace that resides above a nation, available to a nation, that a nation and its people interact with. So you can apply that to your own life too. These high ideals don't come blasting through you and instantaneously become manifest. This is part of the spiritual journey. But what they do is they become a standard, high-voltage light of grace, a guiding principle and ideal that reside in this collective awareness, the Christ, that we relate to, we interact with, and we keep sensing into how am I being called to live from this now? That becomes the practice. That has become our national practice, sometimes more consciously than others. How do we really live liberty? What does that look like? Our politicians, our judicial branches, our citizens, we all answer that in our own ways. But there is an individual and there's a collective around this, and particularly with the founding of our nation. It was truly founded on, as an experiment, as this hope that what the philosophers, particularly in France, were postulating as a way to organize a society could actually exist. And there were people who felt so convicted that this was possible, that they said yes to, and that we as a nation continue to say yes to. There was this great PBS special that, actually it turns out that Ken Burns did it in 1985, but there was someone from the New York Public Library, Vartan Gregorian, and he talked about, they went through a whole series of aspects of the Statue of Liberty, and toward the end they got more philosophical about liberty in general. And so one of the things that Vartan Gregorian said was that if you can say one thing that is threatening liberty, in my opinion, this is 1985, he says it is ignorance. Second is to treat ourselves as only economic units rather than spiritual beings. America is not an actuality. It is a potentiality. Because that moves it from a static, set, this is the truth, to an always expanding invitation and inquiry into what does it look like now? America is not an actuality, but it is a potentiality. We have to remember that the universe is not going to be seeing someone like you again in its entire history of creation. So it is up to you to become a dot, a paragraph, a blank page, a chapter in the history of creation. Isn't that cool? It is up to you to continue to make the United States and to continue to allow your own sense of self and freedom to be that potentiality, not as a stagnant, static experience, but as a living opening. In our work and our exploration and discovering a new paradigm, the practices and principles that go along with that, I've been touching into some of Jeff Carrera's work, both in the radical inclusivity and his newest book, The Soul of a New Self. And one of the things that was in the implications of being a being chapter was this sense that in any paradigm shift, there's a period in between what's known and what is coming in, where it feels like you're set adrift. There is no map in the in-between time. And things like ethics and morals, how we show up, how we organize and construct and what we value, what we consider a being itself, will start to change. And it takes a willingness to navigate what is showing up now in that in-between time, in that space of the unknown that becomes the practice. Asking the questions becomes the practice. Because there's a sense of recognizing that we don't know. We are not masters of the new paradigm. We are not masters of the potentiality, because that limits it, that keeps it stuck instead of expansive. So what I want to do is a visioning of sorts of what does liberty, knowing that everything is always already present, and it is in asking the question that the practice really becomes alive, the relationship to liberty as that potentiality in your life right now becomes that living reality. I invite you to close your eyes, play with me for a minute. If you are willing. And recognize, take a deep breath together and release it. Tapping into that field of consciousness, of blessing, of oneness, of openness and permeability to the fullness of now. living in that land of liberty. So I invite you to sense into knowing that liberty, freedom, as a high ideal, is present right here, right now. I invite you to feel, what does it look like? What does it feel like in your body to tap into this high ideal of freedom, of liberty? What does it sound like? What does it taste like? Be in relationship and communion with the construct of freedom, liberty. And for those of you who are willing and ready, I would love for you to give a voice to it, hopefully loud and clear so I can hear it, so that we can collectively begin to taste and tap into this living, alive energy pattern, this potentiality of the fullness of what liberty means right now. What does it feel like? What does it look like? Open to infinite possibilities. The right to be who you are.
Love without an opposite.
Love without an opposite.
Letting go with love.
Choosing elegant constraints.
Respect for self and others.
Respect for self and others.
Yes.
Yes. So as these voices begin to give more structure and form in the outer, I invite you to continue to sense in, knowing that these are all nuances of what is alive in the field that we are collectively sensing into as a living reality. Not as a thought experiment, but what is actually present that we have the access and the capacity for right now. Living in the land of liberty right now. And so I invite you to allow this question to bubble up from within and see what comes of knowing that this is alive right now. What might be either for you or for the collective, something that blocks the experience of what is always already available?
Looking backwards instead of
forwards. Looking backwards instead of forwards.
Being stuck in
the
mind.
Fear. Resisting what is showing up. Judgment.
Forgetting who we are.
Forgetting who we are. So I invite you to hold what has been voiced and what perhaps has come to you in your own, the silence of your own being, as peeks into some of the ways that liberty, freedom gets blocked inside of us and in our collective. And feel and know that piercing light of the Christ, that divine light, that shines and illumines any perceived darkness or perceived absence of light. That illumination, the awakening, the all-embracing light and love of the divine is illuminating all of those ways, transforming them. Right here, right now, dissolving the blocks that keep us individually and collectively from living in the land of freedom, living in the land of liberty. And so I invite one more question to be entered into, to bubble up in the form of, what is a practice? What is a way for you to continue to engage in this question, in this willingness to be totally receptive, totally present to this sense of freedom and liberty that is always already available? Practicing compassion. Practicing forgiveness. Learning about different peoples constantly. Removing all resistance to what is. Just live it. Trust. Trust God. Listening to divine mind. And so I invite you to, if something has been voiced that you particularly connect with or that you've already received, to set your intention to practice that this week as a way of cultivating your own access to this always already field of liberty. It is present right here, right now. So we open to that, both as individuals and as a nation, as a world, to the living reality of liberty, freedom, in all forms, right now. And so it is. Amen. Thank you for playing. I encourage you to really practice that this week in particular. And we've come to the time of sharing of our tithes and our love offerings. There is a new feature in the back of many of the seats in front of you. There is a slip that says, I auto tithe. If you are one of the people, and there are many of you who give during the month via credit card or ACH, now you have a way to participate as well by holding this slip of paper in your hands so that you are also participating in this sacred practice that we do on Sunday mornings during our church service of giving and receiving, knowing that you are giving and receiving in an alternate form, and so we are holding that. I invite you to hold whatever gift, whatever symbol, whether it be a check or your phone, if you're giving through your mobile app or text, whatever your symbol for the gift that you are giving. in support of this community, in support of your own, a place where you get to practice. Let us say together the love offering blessing. Together, divine love as me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the Donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.